Please turn to the letter to the Philippians. The letter to the Philippians. We'll just read a few verses. Chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Chapter 2, verse 5. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of repine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of man, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and death, the death of the cross. Chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count to have possession myself, but one thing, forgetting the things behind and stretching out to the things before, I pursue, looking towards the goal for the prize of the calling on high of God in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 13. I have strength for all things in Him that gives me power. Or to put it more correctly, I have strength for all things through Him who empowers me. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how we do praise and thank Thee for Thy precious Son, the unspeakable gift that Thou hast given to us. And we do treasure this gift very, very much. And our Father, we do ask that Thou will continue to open our eyes to see Thy Son. Make it even more precious than ever before to us. Make us see that without Him, where will we be? O Lord, we do pray that we may truly see Him as Thou hast seen Him. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we shared on the letter to the Ephesians. The letter to the Ephesians gives us the very height of Christian teaching. And this morning we would like to continue with the letter to the Philippians. And this letter gives us the very depth of Christian living. There in Ephesians we find the height of teaching. There can be nothing higher than that, because there we see the eternal purpose of God, which is Christ Jesus. It is the will of God that His Son should have the first place in all things, that He is to sum up all things, that He is to be the all in all. And I believe we cannot find any teaching higher than that. And then you find in the letter to the Philippians the very depth of living. Why? Because it is said, for me to live is Christ. Can you find a deeper life more than that? And you find that these two epistles are written by one person, the Apostle Paul. That shows us teaching and living are inseparable. We need teaching. But teaching without living is just theoretical. Living without proper teaching is undisciplined and limited. And thank God we find that side by side, you have a letter to the Ephesians and a letter to the Philippians. We need teaching and we need living. In this letter to the Philippians, we will see Christ in our daily life. Or to put it another way, seeing Christ in Christian experience. Of all the letters written by the Apostle Paul, this is to the church, this is the most intimate letter written by him. He wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. And if you read Acts chapter 16, you know, the Philippi was the first place in Europe where the gospel was preached. Before that time, you find the gospel was preached in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in Asia. But here you find the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to cross the Aegean Sea into Europe. And the first place where the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached in Europe was in Philippi. There God gathered a group of believers together unto the name of the Lord Jesus. And this church in Philippi has such an intimate relationship with Apostle Paul. Paul loved this church very much. And the brothers and sisters there love Paul very much. They had their relationship for a long period. Because when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, it was 10 years after he first stepped into this city of Philippi. And through these 10 years, they maintained a very intimate, loving relationship. And here Paul, in the prison in Rome, he wrote this letter to those whom he loved very dearly and was loved by them very dearly too. So it was a love letter. Now even though in this letter you'll find very deep teaching too. For instance, chapter 2. There you'll find a very deep teaching of Christ. But this letter is not basically for teaching. This letter is really a fellowship, a sharing of love. Of all the letters written by the Apostle Paul, there are two letters that reveal Paul most. One is 2 Corinthians and the other is Philippians. In 2 Corinthians, you find Paul is revealed to us as Paul the Apostle. But here in the letter to the Philippians, you find that he is being revealed to us as Paul, the man, the person. In 2 Corinthians, it is spiritual authority that is in view. But here you find in Philippians, it is love that is in view. So in this letter, Paul reveals himself to the saints in Philippi. He unveils, as it were, the very secret of his life as a Christian. And this is something that we would like to learn together this morning. Life is made up of experiences. What we experience day after day makes up our life eventually. It is more than just knowledge. It is experiential knowledge. You know the knowledge that the Bible speaks about is epignosis, which is full and experiential knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is not a theoretical, speculative kind of knowledge. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, is not only full, but it is experiential. That is to say, it can be experienced. Therefore, you find knowing Christ is not just knowing about Him. That does not make up our Christian life. Knowing Christ is to experience Him. And experiencing Him makes up our Christian life. So Christian life actually is a life of experiencing Christ Jesus. The more you experience Christ, the deeper your Christian life goes. And the less, of course, you experience Christ, then the shallower will be your Christian life. When Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, we know that he was in prison in Rome. For the sake of the gospel, he was a prisoner in Rome. Even though he was allowed to stay in his own hired apartment. But it was, of course, in the area where the imperial guards stationed. And we are told that when he was there as a prisoner in Rome, 24 hours, day and night, there will be an imperial guard chained together with him. It's a long chain, of course, but nevertheless, he was chained to an imperial guard 24 hours a day. There was never a time of privacy. He was always under the eyes of a Roman guard. When he received friends, visitors, brothers and sisters, and talk about the Lord, a guard will be there. And when he was resting in the night, a guard was there. There was absolutely no privacy. And he was there waiting to be judged by the emperor, who was at that time Nero. He never knew when he will have the opportunity of such a hearing. He had to wait and wait until it pleased the emperor to hear him. And we know he was there for 2 years. Everything was suspending there. Nothing was definite. The outcome, of course, was uncertain. And Paul had to live that kind of life day after day, day after day. He was a very active person, but he was confined to his apartment. He was not able to travel. He was not able to go out to meet with people. He lived a very confined, restricted life. And added to that, he said, while he was in prison, his imprisonment was known by all, by the imperial guards and by everybody that he was there not because he committed any crime. He was there because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this very fact stirred up some believers to preach the gospel out of love. And yet, Paul said, there were also some who preached the gospel out of jealousy. Now, we do not know exactly who these people were. Probably they were the Judaizers that followed Paul all his life. Or probably they were somebody else. But one thing we do know, that some people preach the gospel out of love. But there are people who preach the gospel out of jealousy and contention. In other words, these people preach the gospel not because of Christ. They preach the gospel in order to add affliction to the Apostle Paul. Now think, if we are put in that kind of circumstances, what will you do? Probably we will be overwhelmed by all these adverse circumstances. And yet you'll find, under such circumstances, Paul was not only not overwhelmed, but he overcame all his circumstances. And he wrote one of the joyous letters of the Bible. In this letter to the Philippians, you'll find he repeatedly mentioned the word rejoice. And this word and its equivalents are repeated 16 times. In this short epistle. In other words, he was overflowing with joy. He was able to share his joy with these Philippian believers. You know, life is lived in many circumstances. We do not live in a vacuum. We live in all kinds of circumstances. Some people said, we are the product of our circumstances. But are we? Probably, if we want to say it more accurately, we may say that we are the product of our reaction to our circumstances. In other words, how do we react to our circumstances? Circumstances change ever so often. Just like four seasons. Sometimes you have spring, sometimes you have summer, sometimes you have autumn, and sometimes you have winter. But, you know, these circumstances, we believe, are ordered by our God. God rules and overrules our circumstances. Yeah, it is true, sometimes our circumstances are caused by the adversary. But with the permission of our God. You remember our Lord Jesus said, do not be afraid. The very hairs of your head have been numbered by your Heavenly Father. Every morning when we comb our hair, some hairs fall off. Probably you never count. How many hairs?
걸어?
Of course, you do not know how many hairs you have in the first place. But our Lord Jesus said, the very hairs of your head are being numbered. Not only counted, but numbered. In other words, every hair of your head has a number. And in the morning when you comb your hair, number 1003 and number 3004 fall off. And God knows exactly which number gets off your head. Now that is the care of your Heavenly Father. Very minute. Insignificant. Not worthy even to be noticed by man. But our Heavenly Father noticed everything. A penny, the Lord said, buys two pigeons, two sparrows. But two pennies, you can get five sparrows. Five sparrows are so cheap. When you buy, say, two pennies, well, an odd sparrow will be thrown in. In other words, that odd sparrow worth nothing. But, the Lord said, even that odd sparrow will not fall into the ground without your Father's knowledge. How much more worth you are than the sparrows. Now, this is the loving care of our Heavenly Father. And remember, it is this Heavenly Father who has ordered all our circumstances. Whether our circumstances are favorable or our circumstances are adverse, remember, it is all under the control of our Heavenly Father. In other words, He puts us in our circumstances with a reason. He wants us to know Christ in our circumstances. He wants us to find out the secret of Christian living. Circumstances or opportunities to learn Christ. You know, it is very strange. Two persons can be under the same circumstance, but they can come out very differently. For instance, Abraham and Lot. You find they left Ur of Chaldea together. They went to Canaan together. They went down to Egypt together. They returned to Canaan together. They were in the same circumstances. And yet you find so different afterwards. David and Saul. Both Saul and David had gone through all kinds of circumstances. But Saul failed in prosperity. And David succeeded in adversity. Do not think that good environment, good circumstances, will always produce good life. Sometimes it's just the contrary. It is not the circumstance. It is the secret of reaction. It is the secret of the life within. If you have mastered this secret, then you'll find you can be in any circumstance And the result will be increase. The result will be a deeper experiencing of Christ Jesus. So dear brothers and sisters, here you find Paul in writing this letter to the Philippians. You know, he was in such a bad circumstance. And think of the Philippian believers. They were free. They were not chained. And yet you find these Philippian believers, even though when you compare their circumstances with Paul's, they were in such far better circumstances. And yet you find they were under the weather. Why? Because there was some little problem in their midst. Basically, two leading sisters, they all loved the Lord, but somehow they developed a kind of rivalry. And because of this kind of rivalry between these two leading sisters, it cast a cloud over the whole assembly. They lost their joy. They were under. And yet Paul was above. What's the secret? There Paul opens his heart to these brothers and sisters whom he loves. He is trying to tell them, in whatever circumstance you may be, there's a secret. And if you know that secret, then circumstances do not matter. What matters is you master that secret. And what is that secret? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Now, Paul does not say, I'm Christ. You know, some people today, you may hear some people say, now I'm Christ. No. When people went to John the Baptist and said, now are you the Messiah? Are you Christ? Oh, John the Baptist, oh no, I'm not. I'm not Christ. I'm just a voice in the wilderness. And Paul never say, I'm Christ. Like some people who will say, no. Paul does not say, for me to live is for Christ. Now, of course it is true. For us to live is for Christ. That's true. If we are not living for Christ, for what are you living for? There is nothing worth living. But Paul does not say that here. Paul does not say, for me to live, I hope, will be Christ. No. There will be an expectation. Paul make a statement of fact. And he said, for me to live is Christ. I'm not Christ, but for me to live is Christ. Now why is it? Because it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. So actually you find the explanation to this verse is Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. No longer live I. It is Christ who lives in me. And I now live in the flesh. I live by faith. The faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Dear brothers and sisters, if we live by ourselves, no matter who you are no match to your circumstances. One day, some circumstance will find you out. You may live by yourself, by your own strength, by your own cleverness, by your own wisdom, and by your own will, you may be able to live for a time. You may be able to weather your circumstances for a time. But there will be a time in your life when you'll find that your circumstance is more than you can take. Sooner or later, you will find it out. Why? Because no one is able to live a Christian life in this world. Not even Paul. There is only one way you can meet all kinds of circumstances, whether smooth or rough, good or bad, prosperity or adversity, hunger or full. There is only one way for you to live a Christian life. And that is to see, not I, but Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I know I cannot live a Christian life. I know I cannot meet all the circumstances in the world. I know that if I do it, sooner or later, I will fall. Thank God, when Christ died on the cross, God has put me in Him and crucified me with Him. Paul acknowledged that verdict. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that God has already pronounced over you a verdict? And that verdict was carried out 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. And the verdict is, you must die. Because you're not able to live. You cannot be improved, reformed, changed. God said, you are finished. I have finished you on Calvary. When Christ died, you died in Him and with Him. Do you accept that? Do you think that you are too good to die? You are too powerful to die? You can still live. If you do, then you will not accept that fact. But if you acknowledge that there is no good in you that is in your flesh, there is no strength in you, you cannot do it, you cannot make it, it's beyond you, then, brothers and sisters, it is the easiest and most natural thing to do. You declare, as Paul did, I am crucified with Christ. No longer live I. Now, who is living? It is Christ who lives in me. And that's the reason why Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Yes, I'm living. I'm living in circumstances. But it is not me who lives. It is Christ who lives in me. He is living out His life through me. And because Christ lives, no circumstance is too hard, difficult for Christ. You'll find that life is resurrection life. It is life out of death, and it always comes above and never goes below. For me to live is Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, ask ourselves this question. Have we discovered His secret? Christ is in you. the hope of glory. We who believe in the Lord Jesus, we all have Christ in us. If you do not have Christ in you, you are not Christ. But thank God, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, Christ has come into us. He is in every believer. But remember, He is in you as life. That is to say, He is in you to live. He is in you to live for you. Brothers and sisters, if we can only see this, if daily, when we open our eyes, we can just lift our hearts to the Lord and say, thank God, here is another day to live. Circumstances in which I have to live through this day. But thank God it is not I. It is Christ who lives. And if day by day you just stand on this fact, for me to live is Christ, how different your life will be. There is nothing impossible with you. Do not look at circumstances. Look at Christ. Do not blame your circumstance. If you have Christ, your circumstance will serve you. All things work together for good, for those who love the Lord, who are called according to purpose. The story was told about St. Augustine. We know St. Augustine, before he was saved, he was a brilliant young man. He became a professor of rhetoric when he was, I think, in his early 20s. And professor of rhetoric at that time was the highest seat of professorship in the university. He lived a very dissipated life. He committed many sins. But then, thank God, he was saved. And after he was saved, one day he was walking on the street. And suddenly he heard a voice behind calling his name. A woman's voice. But he walked on. And finally that woman caught up with him. And faced him and said, Augustine, don't you know me? Augustine said, who you are talking to? The one whom you know was dead. Brothers and sisters, that's the secret. For me to live is Christ. But sometimes you think, yes, I do have the life of Christ in me. Christ lives in me. I know that. But why is it that I still live and He doesn't live? How can I release His life in me? Where is the blockage? Is there any key that can open the way for the life of Christ to come forth instead of myself? Now there is. And that's the reason why you'll find in the second chapter Paul mentioned this matter of the mind of Christ. Let the mind that is in Christ be your mind. Brothers and sisters, you know life can be blocked or can be released through the mind. Just like in your home, you know. You have the faucet. See, the water tower is full of water. But if your faucet is shut, no water will come out. You have to open the faucet, and then the water will flow. And this is the same thing with our Christian living. We have all the resources within us. Christ, our life, that's the resources. And these resources are unsearchable. They're rich. It cannot be exhausted. It's abundant. It's there. But somehow you find it is shut off. And all you need to do is to open the faucet. And you know, that is our mind. Our mind. Let me explain it this way. In Romans, we know Romans can roughly be divided into two parts. One is from chapter 1 to chapter 11, you'll find the mercies of God. The mercies of God. God has done so much for us in Christ Jesus. He has done everything for us in Christ Jesus. If you want your sins to be forgiven, it is in Christ Jesus. If you want to overcome the power of sin, it is in Christ Jesus. If you want to live a holy life, it is in Christ Jesus. Everything is in Christ Jesus. You know, God has done everything for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, here you'll find God has given Christ to you by His mercies, and this Christ is in you. And all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies are in Him and in you. That's Romans chapter 1 through 11. And then Romans 12 to 16 speaks of practical living. After we have received all the mercies of God, we have stored all the mercies of God within us, then let these flow out to the glory of God. And that's Romans 12 to 16. But here you will find, at the transition, you have Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, now thinking of all that God has done for you in Christ Jesus, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, and it is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, perfect, will, pleasing will of God. You have the life of Christ in you. Now, you need to open it up. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. You hear the Greek philosopher says, I know I am because I think. In other words, your thinking has much to do with what you are. What you set your mind upon, what occupies your mind, what you evaluate in your mind, what you consider as important or consider as not important. You know, your viewpoint, the way you look at things, you know, all these have much to do with the way you live. You have the life in you. Now, how are you going to live? that have much to do with your mind. You know, dear brothers and sisters, even though we are saved, we have a new life in us. But our mind is still old. Even though we are saved, you find that our mind still think in the way that the people in the world think. We still consider things in the world as important, precious, dear to us. We still go for these things. We still evaluate things in the way that we did before we are saved. And because of that, no wonder, we still go the old way. Our mind needs to be renewed. And how? God has done everything for us by giving us the life of His beloved Son. And in that life is all that you need. But there's one thing God will not and does not do it for you. It is something that you have to do it yourself. And that is, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, brothers and sisters, even though God purchased you with a price, even the blood of His beloved Son, and you belong to Him by right, but God never forces anyone. He wants voluntary service. In other words, here you'll find God saying, now, look at what I have done for you. Look what I have given to you. I have given Christ to you. He is yours. But if you want to live by His life, one thing you have to do, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice to me. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something given to God for His consumption. Therefore, sacrifice is called food, God's food. In other words, let God be satisfied with the sacrifice. So, in other words, today, we who are the Lord, we are to be a living sacrifice. That is to say, every day we live, we are for His pleasure. We do not live here for our own pleasure, for our own enjoyment. We live here as a sacrifice to God. We live here for Him, for His pleasure, for His satisfaction, for His will, for His purpose. And this is something you have to present yourself to Him. The wonderful thing is, when you present your body a living sacrifice to God, something happened to your mind. The Holy Spirit renew your mind. In other words, the Holy Spirit so renew your mind that you begin to see things differently. You begin to value things differently. You begin to look at things differently. What you treasured before becomes value to you. Or what you despised before suddenly becomes very precious to you. Now, use an illustration. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said before he knew the Lord, He boasted in his heritage. He was a Jew. He was born in the tribe of Benjamin and had never rebelled. He was born in, circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. And he was brought up as a Pharisee that kept the law. And according to the righteousness of the law, he was blameless. In other words, he considered these things very highly. And because of that, this was the way he lived. He said, I live a Pharisee. But after he came to the Lord, after he surrendered his life to Christ, what happened? He said, what I considered as gain, now I look at them as loss. I consider all things as dross, worth nothing. I'm willing to let everything go for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's a renewed mind. A renewed mind. We need a renewed mind. But this renewed mind, you have to do something. And that is, present your body a living sacrifice. You have to give yourself to God. You have to give up your right over your life. You have to let Him manage your life. And if you do, then you'll find the Holy Spirit will do the work of renewing your mind. And then you'll find the faucet is open. When your mind is renewed, what do you see? You see that in you that is in your flesh, there is no good. Therefore, it is but right for God to have you crucified with Christ. You take it. And with a renewed mind, you begin to see, why should I continue to struggle? Christ lives in me. And what a glorious life he lived when he was on earth. Why not let him live again in and through me? That will be the happiest thing to do. And you let him live. Life will be released. Brothers and sisters, and remember, this life is not static at all. This life is a life that continues to grow. And therefore Paul said, I do not say that I have attained. I do not say I have arrived. He said, I am pressing on. Towards the goal that is before me. For the prize of the calling of high of God in Christ Jesus. I want to possess what I am possessed of by God. Brothers and sisters, this life is thrilling. This life is progressing all the time to know Him and the power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His sufferings, conformable to His death, that I may arrive at the out-resurrection from among the dead. Brothers and sisters, it is a continuing gaining Christ. And as you're experiencing Christ more and more, your Christian life deepens more and more. You know, sometimes I like to use an illustration, which is not very good, but you will forgive me to do that. When I was a boy, in Shanghai, we have a race course too. And there's a race course for greyhounds. And they race the greyhounds. And I've never been there. But I was told that when they raise these greyhounds, of course you cannot let go these greyhounds without an object to pursue. So they use an electric rabbit. And when they raise the greyhound, they will let the electric rabbit go before the greyhound, you know. And of course all the greyhounds will pursue the rabbit, trying to get the rabbit. And of course they run very fast. Now, sometimes I feel, you know, our Christian life is like that. You know, we are running all the time. But you cannot run without an object, without a goal. So here you find Christ is our goal. You know, He is not only the life within us, but He is also the goal outside of us. And we are running after Christ, you know. But the strange thing is, if you are never able to catch on with Him, you will be disappointed. So you find from time to time He lets you catch Him. But after you catch Him for a while, suddenly you find He is running ahead of you again. And you have to run again. You know, that is Christian life. And that is why Paul said. He said, I do not say that I have attained. Yeah, of course, he has attained a lot. But still, he said, he is before me. I have to pursue, forgetting the things that are behind and pursue after him. Brothers and sisters, this is Christian living. It is a life lived by Christ. And it is a life pursuing after Christ. A glorious life. A Christian life is never dull. There's always something ahead of you. Because He is always ahead of you. You know, that is Christ. Again and again you'll find Christ in the Scripture. In the New Testament you'll find. Christ was passing by. He was going on. And you have to call Him back. You know, the disciples were rolling in the storm, and you find Christ walking on the water, but He was not walking to the boat. He was walking passing the boat. And they have to call Him back. And you remember He was walking with the two disciples to Emmaus, and when they came to Emmaus, and Christ was walking on. They said, oh no, stay here and have supper with us. Now that's the way, you know. We have to. You know, catch on with Him sometimes, and then we have to catch on again, you know. This is Christian life. But brothers and sisters, again we say, how do you get into that kind of Christian living? It's not natural. You need to be initiated into it. You know, Paul says, I have been initiated into this kind of living. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. I know how to live in prosperity. I know how to live in adversity. I have been initiated into it. And what did he initiate into? He said, I can do all things through Him who empowers me. Now, do you want to be initiated into this? Do you want to be initiated into I can do all things through Him who empowers me? How? Through experience. Through circumstances. God arranged your circumstance that you may be initiated into Christ. Into the all-sufficiency of Christ. I wonder if I can say Paul was initiated into this probably in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh. And as we are told repeatedly that this thorn actually is not a tiny thorn, it is a stake. Paul has a stake driven in his flesh. That's the circumstance. It weakened him. It put him to shame. It is a kind of drawback to him in his preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of this, he prayed 3 times. Oh, God, remove that stake. You can do it. Change my circumstance that I may be strong. But he got an answer. My grace is sufficient for thee. Instead of removing the stake, changing the circumstance, which God can, God let his grace rise up so high that he is able to overcome the stake. Just like our brother Watchman, he says, sometimes God can remove the rock so that a boat can sail through. At other times, he can raise the water so the boat can sail through. And here you'll find God says, I will not remove the stake, but I'll raise the water. My grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul was initiated into this secret. I can do all things through him who empowers me. Brothers and sisters, do not despise your circumstances. Do not murmur against your circumstances. Do not always pray that God will change your circumstances. Sometimes he does. But take these circumstances as opportunities for you to experience Christ. And if you learn to experience Christ in your circumstance, maybe in one circumstance, and when the other circumstance comes, you are initiated into it. And you will be able to rise above your circumstance and come into knowing Christ in your daily life. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is the letter to the Philippians. Paul shares the secret of Christian living to us. And may we learn it. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do worship thee, because thou hast already put that secret of living in us, Christ, our life. We do pray that thou will open our eyes to see it. Thou will also renew our mind, that thy life may be released. We pray that we may, in our circumstances, be initiated into that secret. I can do all things through him who empowers me. May it be real to every brother and sister here in this place, that thy name may be glorified. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.